Okay, I was kind of hoping Gary fell asleep and we just listened to music for the next 35, 40, 45 minutes. Okay, we got a 5x5 for Gary. Good evening, everybody, from the deep frozen tundra of South Carolina. We have approximately a blinding 3/4 of an inch of snow in my vicinity. And I think Ronnie said they got about 1.5 inches where he's at. So let's just say that everything is locked down around here and there is no milk or bread found within 60 miles. And it's good to see everybody. And my wife is not here because she got snowbound in New Mexico. Their motel tonight, they'll be getting on a plane tomorrow. They were supposed to fly home this morning, but their layover was going to be in Houston. And as everybody probably knows, Houston was under a sheet of ice this morning, so they canceled all the flights in and out of Houston. So she got an extra day to stay and love on her grandchildren, and I know she felt bad about that. Not, but I'll be getting my wife back tomorrow. White Sands, New Mexico, is where they were at. They're down farther south now. They're in Texas right now, waiting to get on the plane in the morning. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, it is just so wonderful, so blessed to know You. To know, Lord, that this message that You have put aside for us. And I say us, Lord, I'm talking about for the world, but most of all for the body of Christ. Lord, I thank You for preserving this body from before the foundation of the world. To keep it hid, Lord, to keep it hid within You. Lord, thank You. And Lord, I ask that You be with me as I prepare to deliver this message, that it may help bring forth this body, help solidify this body, and just bring unity to the body. And Lord, I thank You for our Lord and Savior, that He did on the cross, our head of the body. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Again, let me get my recording going so we have some redundancy here. So, in case Ronnie's Dale decides to conk out on him, which it's been pretty good at doing. I see you. But we got Chip. Chip got her back up, and I'm sure Mike and Dee's got one going too. So we got a good redundant copy going on with all these recorders going here. But as everybody I'm sure knows, that I'm going to be speaking on the mystery tonight in Ephesians 6:19. It comes to my part of the Ephesians study. Been going over Ephesians 6 for a little while now, and just got through with the armor of God and then with the prayer that finishes up the armor or solidifies the armor or brings the armor all together, is praying and singing, is praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And tonight I'll be going over the mystery and try to explain it in my simple terms for anybody that may be listening in now or in the near or far future that maybe they'll be able to understand the truth of the mystery and help fill this body and bring it to full. See, we'll read 6:18 and 19. Excuse me, I picked up a little cough this morning. I might have to get some colloidal silver from Gary. Say, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for a couple of saints. Oh, I'm sorry, for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Here the apostle is asking a prayer that he has the power to utter the mystery boldly to anybody that's willing to hear it. And that he might be enabled to speak plainly and boldly in support of the gospel. You could, if talking to someone, first and foremost, I found out if they know the Lord. And most of the time, I don't even bring it up unless somebody in the barbershop brings it up. But if they know the Lord is their Savior, then that leaves you an avenue to help bring someone to know the truth in Scripture, to help bring forth the mystery. Roger's message last week was that we push this message harder to bring forth the mystery. In Ephesians 1:12 and 14 is basically the foundation of Christ as far as being sealed. In 12 it says that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed. A body member in Christ is a believer. First and foremost, is a believer in the Lord and Savior. At that point, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And that sealing is, nothing can be taken away from you once that sealing has taken place. It's all in your hands at that point. I feel as though a person, once they come to know this truth, if they really know this truth, they'll never leave it. But if a person comes to claim to know this truth, it's very possible that they could be like the seeds by the wayside and be carried away with another wind of doctrine that Paul speaks of. And in 14, it says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, until our Lord takes that He has purchased unto the praise of His glory. This mystery, I've got it broken down into six or seven topics. First and foremost, it's unsearchable. And you're chosen from before the foundation of the world. And there's a hope in the calling as an adopted son. And there's being the members of the body of Christ and Him being the head. There's one new man. And there's a heavenly hope at the appearing of our Lord and Savior when He appears in the heavenlies. Those are the highlights as to the mystery of God. The mysterion truth. This room that we are in is the mysterion truth Bible study. I know when I first started hearing the message, I would ask, well, what's the mystery? And I would be led into Ephesians, told to read Ephesians. Well, a lot of times that's not good enough. A lot of times a person that is looking for truth or trying to find truth, they want to take the easy way out, and they say, well, what is the mystery? What is the big deal with all these guys proclaiming the mystery, and they're a little different than everybody else? Well, in one term, the mystery is being a member of the church, which is His body, and Him being the head. In one sentence, that's a one-sentence statement of the mystery. But that's not the whole thing. The whole thing is Ephesians and Colossians together. The two books have more than one sentence that says, this is the mystery. Because the mystery is the multifarious wisdom of God in Ephesians, I think it's 3:10. It's manifold wisdom. It's Ephesians and Colossians. Okay, well, let me get started. First and foremost, Paul is the author of the mystery, as far as human terms goes, because it was given to him and to him alone. In Acts 9, the Apostle Paul was brought to his knees by Christ. In 9:15 and 16. In 9:15, the Lord is basically to Ananias. And the Lord said to Ananias, go thy way, for he, Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And that vessel is skios. It's an implement. It's an instrument. Paul is the instrument of Christ to the Gentiles. Okay? And from that point on, it started the grafting in process throughout the book of Acts. In Galatians 1:11 and 12, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. This is Paul talking to the Galatians. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Christ Jesus. I know it says Jesus Christ, but every time I can, I try to say Christ Jesus, because Christ is represented as the risen Savior, and Jesus is represented as man. When walked the earth, he was recognized as Jesus. In 2 Timothy 4:17, Paul saying, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me, Paul, the preaching might be fully, completely known, and all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. See, Paul knew that he had a mission, and he was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. He knew that he'd done been killed a couple of times. You can go back to 2 Corinthians in 11 and see all of them that he stated there as far as being five times received 40 stripes, save one, beaten with rods, stoned, suffered shipwreck, not in the depth and in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers. The apostle went through all of these that a normal person, if they weren't directed by God or directed by Christ, would have been dead long before. But the apostle Paul had a message to deliver. This message, the mystery, is unsearchable. It cannot be found anywhere in the Old Testament except through Paul's teachings. In Ephesians 3:5-9, states that which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister. The apostle Paul was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship. And that fellowship is a partaking. In the critical lexicon, it's also partaking of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God. So it's been hid since the beginning of the world. It's been hid from the beginning of the world, who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent, or in order that now, to principalities and powers or authorities in the upon heavenlies might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. And I know this is just my terminology of manifold, but it's God's mystery that's laid out. He's laid out the mysteries throughout the ages, the manifold wisdom of God, the different dispensations. You could say each dispensation is a layer. It's a fold, and it has many of them. So the different dispensations, the wisdom of God, is to be proclaimed. In Colossians 1:23-26, I'm still on unsearchable. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ. Remember, in Acts 9, Paul had that wasn't finished of Christ. behind the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church. For His body's sake, which is the church. Okay? Mystery. His body. Church. Put that in your brain for anybody who want to know what the mystery is. Even though everybody I'm looking at right here is looking at me saying, Tony, I know that. I know that. Well, listen to it again. Can't hear it enough. I know I can't. I can't hear it enough. In Colossians 1:25 through 27, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. This mystery fills up its pleroo. It's to level up, to finish a period or finish a task, to accomplish, to complete, to fully preach, perfect or supply. To fill up the Word of God. Mystery finishes the Word of God. Roger said that last week. Says that this message is the final message of God to mankind. Because it completes the Scripture. The next partaking of God from this is not going to be nice for the people that don't know the truth. All the prophecies that people have seen in Revelation is going to come true. And a lot of people are going to say, well, I think I missed the boat. And a lot of people are going to be in your traditional churches saying that. I mean, I'm casting judgment. I know that. And that's not for me to judge. It's just that there's a lot of wrong division preached in traditional churches, and wrong division is not God's truth. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given me for you to fill up the Word of God, even the mystery, which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now, the famous two words, is made manifest to His saints. In 27, to whom God make known what is, wait a minute, to whom God would make known, okay, His saints to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. God is making this known through His saints. This manifold wisdom of God is coming through you, the people that I'm looking at. The speakers know this, and the listeners know this. And they might be one or two that might not, but I doubt it. Everybody I see on here, I'm pretty sure can do this much more fluent than I can. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, get this, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Man, Ronnie did a study one time, and he didn't complete it. It was one of his several Sunday studies on one word, and that word was in. And when you look at the word in, within, inside, you are part of that object. Everybody that I'm looking at now is in a house. Well, buddy, if that house blows up, what's going to happen to you? You are gone too. Christ is in you, you are in Christ. And this hope of El Peace, a primary form Elpo, and it's an expectation or confidence. It's not your typical, I hope to hit the lottery, or I hope my team wins the Super Bowl, or I hope Obama, yeah, blah, I ain't gonna say. Anyway, this hope is a sure hope that we have in Christ. It's there. I mean, it's as solid as this floor is under my feet at this present time. And then we get to be chosen before the foundation of the world. In Ephesians 1:4, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Well, to get the context, let's go ahead and read Ephesians 1:1. It's the least I can do for you, Ronnie, since you burn me all the time. Ephesians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ. Okay, to the faithful in Christ is you. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Christ Jesus. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ Jesus, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the upon heavenlies in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. This is a choosing that's taken place from before the foundation of the world. This is part of the mystery. In 2 Timothy 1:9, the apostle says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. He's talking about Christ. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. When we were predestinated, Ephesians 1:4, we're chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Israel was chosen after the world. When you see what the Gentiles are compared to what the Jews are, Israel are the Jews, or the circumcision. Israel was chosen after or since the foundation or beginning of the world, but we who understand these secrets, the mystery, realize that we were chosen before the foundation. I mean, that's phenomenal to know. I mean, it's beyond my mind. It's just that I take it as fact. If God said it, if this Word said it, I believe it. Okay, we've done unsearchable and before the foundation of the world. And being an adopted son, there's an adoption that takes place in Scripture. And today, in modern day time, when someone is adopted, they can receive the last name of the person, but they don't always necessarily be treated as well as an offspring. Well, when Christ adopted the Gentiles, adopted you, He accounted you as his son. Period. With every right that came with it. In Ephesians 1, 5 through 10, Christ, having predestined us unto the adoption of children, sons, that's huiothesia, sons, by Christ Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, not mine, according to his, Christ's will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood. We've been redeemed. The forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins has been taken care of. We don't have to ask forgiveness of sins on a daily basis as traditional churches do. According to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. It's his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ. That hasn't happened yet. But that's the next thing that's going to happen. That at the dispensation of the fullness of times, that's why we are to proclaim this mystery. That's why we are to write division when someone is in a position to receive our knowledge. We are to help them with salt and not pound it in their head and tell them they're fools, tell them they're an idiot or anything of the such, but to be nice and say, have you ever thought of it this way? This is something to think about. There's a way to approach people that want to be hard-headed, and there's some people you just turn around and walk away from. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Alright, the next one is being a member of the church, of his body and of him being the head. This is the one topic that we use as far as the mystery goes. In Ephesians 1, 17 through 21, which has been used several times in the past 2 weeks, and also, this mystery message is spoken so many times by each one of the speakers, it's almost impossible that someone can't understand the mystery. But it's at every conference, at every one of our Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Sunday messages, at some point the mystery is going to be given a little piece of. We're going to give a little piece of the mystery. But in Ephesians 1, 17 to 21, the prayer, Paul says that the God of our Lord Christ Jesus, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. The prayer that we should all be using on a daily basis. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us word who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, what he put together in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the upon heavenlies, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is come, and hath put all things under his feet, gave him, Christ, to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. In Ephesians 5:23, it speaks of Christ as the head of the church. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body of Christ. Christ is the Savior of this body, the church. In 5:29 it says, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." I was going down 85 one day, and just, I don't know why, but it just hit me that I'm an actual part of the body of Christ. I mean, if you think about the whole thing, you are the body of Christ. You are in Christ. Christ is in you. You are pretty much one, and he's the head. He goes on to say, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." This is an example that Paul has given, that a husband and wife is one. Husband and wife is one flesh. And he says, this is the great mystery. "But I speak concerning Christ and the church." That's the great mystery. Christ and the church are one. I can't say it loud enough, but I don't want to yell because I got grandkids sleeping in the next room over there. In Colossians 1:16-18, "For by him, Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things. And by him all things hold together, consist. By Christ everything is glued together. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn. Nobody else has been raised from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence." After that, we have another topic that is a highlight to the mystery, is a one new man. In Ephesians 2:11-16, "Wherefore remember that ye, being time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands." This is basically saying that the Israelites proclaim y'all as uncircumcised dogs that don't deserve nothing, not even the crumbs off the table. Because at one time, your ancestors fell into this category. My ancestors fell into this category. At this day and age, during the time Christ was on the earth and before, anyone who wasn't of Israel was a Gentile, a dog, not fit for meat of the Father's table. They died. They perished. They will not ever see life again, period.com. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. How bad would that be? There are people that's going to die today that don't have hope because they don't accept Christ. They don't believe anything that comes from the book. And they just say, well, I don't want it. They have no hope. Eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow you die. I see them all day on TV, mostly. Having no hope and without God in the world, or cosmos. Here we go with the famous two words again. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. This middle wall was there to keep man from God. This middle wall was there to keep any man from God, even Israel. But this partition is broken down and has abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new, no making peace. Today there's no Jew nor Gentile. People claim to be Jews just from heritage that they think that they have. And we use the terminology Gentile all the time because it's a simple fact that you're either Jew or Gentile, but technically we should be using the terminology of one new man. I'm a new man. I'm not a Gentile. I'm a new man. We're all new men. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And in Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. What? As Mike would say, what? And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. The image of God. When is all this going to take place? When is this all going to be manifested? Well, it's now, really. But this hope, when is it going to take place? When is the body going to be manifest in the upon heavenlies? Well, that's in Colossians 1-5. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Christ Jesus, who gave thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Christ Jesus, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. And then we jump to Colossians 3:3-4. You're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, our life, it says who is, but that's not in the original. When Christ, our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. This is when the new man, the body and the head, is united in the heavenlies. At this point in time, this is the next venture in God's plan of the ages, is the epiphania, the filling up. And when, at that point, nobody knows whether we're going to be dead or alive. I just have a sneaking suspicion that the body will have already been sleeping. And the appearing will take place, and we will appear with him in glory. But to make this mystery, this mysterion truth, to really know it with the knowledge that God expects us to have with his manifold wisdom, we have to do one thing. Other than believe. 2 Timothy 2:15. Just study, be diligent to present ourselves approved unto God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is the believer's task. This is the body member's task. To be diligent and to present yourself, me, approved. There's an approval that's taking place. We have to be approved of God and not ashamed of our works. Rightly dividing the word of truth. That is orthotomeo. It's the only time in Scripture that this word is used. It's to make a straight cut, to dissect, to expound correctly the divine message. The only place, and it's in this Scripture. What happens when someone, let's go to Colossians 1:21-23. And ye that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. This is the Colossians basically saying the same thing that the Ephesians said in Ephesians 2. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. The very next word in 23, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Don't forget, if. There's a disclaimer there. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. That if is the Greek form age. Indeed, see that unless, otherwise, followed by the indicative mood, the hypothesis is assumed as an actual fact. The condition being unfulfilled. but no doubt being thrown upon the supposition. If, as a disclaimer, saying that you, if I can get it straight, you must stay with the truth. In Colossians 1:23-28, if you continue in the faith and be grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof Paul I am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you to fill up that which was behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill, fill up the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is our Lord Christ in you, our mediator, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. In 1 Timothy 2:5 it says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and the man is Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. A body member of Christ requires right division walk by delivering truth rightly divided. Every time someone comes to you proclaiming man's traditional teaching, correct them. You are a member of the body of Christ. I am. Just stay in the truth. And I'm constantly learning myself. And I thank you for your time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord, for this day. And Lord, for the message that you do have for us in this Holy Scripture, in your Word. I love you, Lord Jesus. I love every person in this page. And I thank you, my Lord, for all that you have done. And especially that is yet to come. Thank you so much for this hope that is waiting upon us. For it's in Christ's precious name I pray. Amen.